Well, good evening, dear ones, and welcome to our Wednesday evening midweek church service on this sixth day of May 2015. We also extend a hearty welcome to those that are listening on the phone and to those listening to the recording. And welcome, dear ones, and we appreciate you choosing to join with us at this time to worship our God in the middle of the week. Our opening song for tonight's service is entitled, There's Power in the Blood. And the lyrics can be found on our website in the home church section under music and then under hymns. And the actual link is lightministries.com/ID1930.htm. So there's power in the blood. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Of the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And praise our Savior for making possible for us to indeed be cleansed by his precious blood and obtain the grace and the strength and the divine power to live his life. I invite you to please bow your heads and, if possible, kneel for opening prayer to tonight's service. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being in control of all things. We thank you, Father, for ruling and overruling in all the affairs of thy people around the world. And we thank you so very much that we are a day closer to getting off of this wicked world, a day closer to entering into eternity to spend with thee through ceaseless ages. And what a wonderful day that will be when it comes. Dear Father, we give you full control of this room tonight. We pray that thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be with each one of us. Please open our understanding to behold more wondrous truths out of thy holy word. And we thank you so very much for allowing us to come apart to worship thee, to study, to dig into thy word, and also to praise thy name in word and song. So we thank you for being here in our midst. Thank you for being with all of our listeners and guests and members and with all of thy people around the world. Help us to indeed remain faithful to thee, regardless of the cost. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So it's a pleasure to be with you all once again. And let us get into our study book, which is Ephesians. And we're in chapter 4. And we left off last time at verse 9. And what Paul was talking about before we ended last time was that when Christ ascended up on high, because he is the resurrection and the life, as a token of the great coming resurrection that will occur when Christ comes back, there were some saints that were already resting in their graves, already sleeping, that when Christ resurrected, those saints resurrected as well. And so when Christ ascended up on high, he led these freed captives with him back to heaven. And again, these symbolize the great resurrection that would take place when Christ comes the second time. And it also says that he gave gifts unto men there in verse 8 of Ephesians 4. And the gifts that Christ gave was one of the greatest gifts that could be given, and that was the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, all the blessings of heaven come with that God. And the Spirit disperses various talents and gifts and abilities to God's faithful followers all over the world. So truly, in receiving the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit to recognize Christ's ascension and establishment as our great high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, we indeed have God's blessings with us. So that's where we left off last time. And now we pick it up in verse 9 of Ephesians 4. Now that he ascended, or Christ ascended to heaven, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So before Christ could ascend to heaven, he had to go down to the lowest part of this world, not just in character, but also beneath the ground. And he rested there in the cave for Friday evening, Sabbath, and was resurrected Sunday. So what Paul is referring to here is that he had to rest in the earth before he could ascend up into the heavens. And once he ascended up into the heavens, far above this earthly sky and the starry portion of our galaxy, he did so to show that he was above all things. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So some of these gifts that Christ poured out upon his people through the Holy Spirit was being apostles, being prophets, being evangelists and pastors and teachers. And why did Christ raise up or give the gifts of calling to apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers? What was the reason? What's the purpose? The purpose is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry or ministering to others, and for the edifying or the uplifting, the encouragement, the increasing from one stage to another of the body of Christ. So then the work of apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers is a work that will lead God's people to perfection, to being a mature man or woman or child in Christ. And it's also for the ministry, or to minister, to work for others, as well as edifying or building up, establishing in the faith the body of Christ. So then, if you're listening to the teachings of apostles or prophets or evangelists or teachers or pastors, and they're not teaching that God's people can be perfect in Christ, or they're not teaching that it is possible to keep all 10 of the commandments spotlessly through Christ, or they're not working to encourage God's people to minister to others, and they're not edifying the body of Christ, but they're tearing it down, then you know that they are not connected with Christ. Christ did not send them. The Holy Spirit is not empowering them. Because everyone that is connected with Christ, everyone that is called by Him to a particular work, everyone who receives the Holy Spirit is going to be working towards the perfection of God's people, the work of the ministry increasing from the people in witnessing and in ministrating to others, and also that the body of Christ is going to be edified or built up or established. So then all you really have to do is examine the fruits that these apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers are producing to determine whether they are of God or not, whether they have the Holy Spirit or do not, whether Christ has given them their calling or not. Yes, a question in the room, it says, do you mean that these individuals will help God's people to become perfect? And that is true. So the perfecting of the saints, it is a process that brings the saints, that brings the followers of God higher and higher towards perfectly reflecting Christ in character. That is the work of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And if they are not working towards that goal, if they're not teaching that it's possible to become perfect, then they're not called of God. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any questions, dear ones, before we continue? Please go right ahead. Yeah, and that is true. That is true. A comment in the room, it says, this is a good way to check to see if they're called of God or not. And that's true, because this is the work of all of these individuals called of God to perform, and that is to bring the saints to perfection, to continue the work of the ministry. And that's not just referring to the pastoral work of the minister or teachers or evangelists. That's also dealing with the members of the church being encouraged to minister to others. So the work of the ministry is more than just that of the pastor's responsibilities himself. It's also the responsibilities of all of the followers of Christ to minister to others. And it's also for the edifying of the body of Christ, or building it up instead of tearing it down. because there's some ministries that are just focused upon tearing down and never building up. And when you look at the ministration of Christ, he did point out sin, but he did not leave the individuals to wallow in their guilt of being sinners, but he also helped them up and encouraged them to go forward and sin no more. So he was edifying them. And just as a physician has to make sure that they cut out all of the dead and decaying tissue, yet they don't allow the hole to remain wide open for all kinds of infection and everything else to enter in. But they put forth the efforts to heal that wound and to bring about a process that makes that individual whole again and healthy. So it's the same with sinners. Their sins have to be pointed out so that they feel their need of help from the Savior and they flee to him. But they're not just to be left on their own. They're to be helped and encouraged all along the way. And even after they find Christ, they have to be kept close to, because they're going to have a lot of questions. They're going to have a lot of problems from the devil trying to discourage them and to lead them to go back to their old ways. So we can't just leave them to their own devices. We have to help them. We have to come close to them. We have to be friends with them and thus help to edify them, to point them continuously in the right direction. Amen. To pull them out of the pit. And once God, through our efforts, helps to pull them out of the pit, we can't just leave them sitting at the brink because they may fall right back in. We have to be with them to guide them farther and farther away from that pit and closer to Christ. That's part of edifying. And so God has raised up and given the calling to, the gifts to be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, to work for the perfecting of God's people, the work of the ministration of Christ continuing through his people to others, and edifying the body of Christ. And this is to continue, we pick it up at verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or perfect woman, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So all of these gifts are pointing and all leading towards the goal of every single believer being united in the same faith. Every single believer having the knowledge of the Son of God, the plan of salvation. And all of this will bring them into becoming a perfect man or a perfect woman and reaching as far as it is possible for them to reach to the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the work of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, elders, deacons, etc., is all to bring God's people into the unity of the faith, not to allow them to believe one thing and the next person another thing and then have all kinds of confusion and division in the faith, but to bring them all into the unity of the faith, into a knowledge of the Son of God, so that they may become a perfect and mature Christian, achieving ever closer to the fullness of Christ, or to being just like Christ in character. So then if these apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and elders and deacons are not themselves coming into the unity of the faith, being more intelligent on the knowledge of the Son of God, and themselves achieving a greater measure of perfection, coming closer to the fullness of Christ's character, reflecting his image more and more, if they're not living the example, then how can they possibly teach it to their members, to those who listen to them? They can't. So then these workers for God, those that have been called to preach, must themselves live what they're preaching. They must themselves be growing more and more into the perfect character of Christ. And as they come closer to Christ in character, then their message will have that much more influence upon all who listen to it. Their efforts will have that much more effectiveness in reaching the people. And it's the same with each member of the church, each follower of Christ. Trying to get someone to leave Babylon when they see that you yourself are within Babylon is not going to accomplish anything. Your example is going to counteract your words. So it's the same with preaching that individuals must keep God's law in every aspect. You have to keep it first. You have to show them how. And then your words will have effect because they see it's possible. So being a hypocrite is only going to delay the coming of Christ. People are not going to listen to your words or follow them because they see that you're not living what you're preaching. So before individuals are going to come out of Babylon, you have to come out first. Before individuals are going to believe that it's possible for them to keep every bit of God's commandments, you yourself need to keep it. We have to overcome our double-mindedness. We have to overcome our hypocrisy. If we are Christians, then we need to live the Christian life. We need to be like Christ. And then individuals will see that it is possible. And then our words, backed up by our actions, will have effect. So the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers and elders, etc., this is their work, to bring God's people to perfection, to minister to others, to edify and build up God's church, to bring people into the unity of the faith, to know more about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to become perfect, to reach higher and higher into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And then verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So then if we're not united in the faith, and we're not increasing in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we're not striving for perfection, and we're not edifying the body of Christ, then what's going to happen? Then we haven't grown up into the fullness of Christ. We're still children. And we're not established in the faith, but we're being tossed to and fro depending on which doctrine, which wind is blowing upon us. And as long as we're not established in the faith, because there's conflicting beliefs, and we're not sure which of the beliefs to follow, then the devil's going to have a heyday with us. And we're not going to know what to do. And a lot of times when you don't know what to do, you do nothing. And when you do nothing, the devil wins because the gospel is not being spread. Individuals are not being ministered to in the Spirit of Christ. And you're right, the devil has a field day, a heyday among God's people. So then these apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and the rest of those that are preaching and are in a leadership position among God's people, their work is to establish individuals in the faith, to bring a greater knowledge of Christ and his mission work to their understanding, to encourage them to grow from children into mature Christian adults, so that they will no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. And this is talking about false doctrine. Doctrines coming by the sleight or deception of men with craftiness instead of open truth, because they're lying in wait to deceive God's people instead of to establish them in the truth. So then the only way that we're going to be established in the truth is to come into the unity of the faith. And in order to come into the unity of the faith, we need to know what that faith is. And the responsibilities for teaching God's people what the true faith is falls upon the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, elders, deacons, etc. So then, those who are teaching that God has given each of us as individuals the responsibility to believe what we want to believe, and yet to be united with other individuals in a home church, but yet there's no unity of belief in that home church, they're not teaching the true gospel of Christ. In fact, according to Ephesians 4, they're not called of Christ to do that particular work. Question in the room, it says, what is the most important thing? Is it to read the Word? And that is one of the important things, to read the Bible, to understand God's Word. But the most important thing is for you to give your heart to Christ, for you to accept Him, body, soul, and spirit, as your Savior, as your Redeemer, and to plead with Him to change you, to give you a new heart, a new spirit. And then with the new heart, with the new spirit, you will be able to comprehend and understand what you read in God's Word. So yes, reading God's Word is important because it is God's letter written directly to each one of us as individuals. But the most important thing is for us to be born again in Christ. So the work of the leaders in God's movement is to bring all the followers of Christ to recognize that perfection is possible, to minister to others the Savior, to build each other up in the faith, and to bring us to see eye to eye on what the faith is, so that we may be united in the faith and thus no longer wide open for the devil to come in and lead us here and lead us there by all kinds of different fanatical or false teachings. And that seems to be the hardest thing for God's people to learn, that they must be united, not just with one another, but united in their beliefs. I've seen churches divide in half over a false doctrine or a fanatical teaching that happened to come into their midst. They were not united in the faith. If they would have been united in the faith, then the false doctrine or fanatical teaching would not have affected them in any way. It would have been against their faith, and thus they would not have listened to it. So they were not mature in the faith. They were tossed to and fro. Half the church decided to follow the false doctrine, and the other half decided to reject the false doctrine. And it was because they were not all united in the faith. They were not all mature in Christ. Some of them were still children. Some of them were out of unity. So, dear ones, God wants His people to be united, not just with one another, not just in a home church, but in the faith. And when they are united in the faith and united one with another, then it is so much more difficult for the devil to toss them to and fro. It's so much more difficult for an approaching army to capture a city if all the watchmen on the walls are giving the same note of alarm. It's only when some of the watchmen don't know what alarm to give that it allows a breach to be in their defenses, and thus the attacking army can capitalize on that weak point and be able to breach the walls to enter into the city, because the watchmen are not all united in the faith. So the work of those that are ministering to God's people are to bring them to perfection, are to encourage and help them to minister Christ to others. They are to edify the body of Christ and to bring God's people into the unity of the faith, into understanding the truth about Jesus Christ and his mission work. And thus, to encourage God's people step by step to become perfect in Christ, to reach the full measure of Christ's character. And when that happens, then God's people will not be children anymore. They will be mature adults in Christ. They will no longer be tossed to and fro by all kinds of false, windy doctrines, but they will be able to stand firm and sound the same alarm against that doctrine in unity with their fellow brethren. Because we're living in the last days, and the devil is definitely going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And if we don't know what the faith is, and if we're not united with one another in that faith, then the devil is going to find it very easy to enter in among us and steal away our fellow brothers and sisters, to mislead them. And we've seen some individuals that were fellowshipping with us on a regular basis, but they were not united with us in the faith. And thus the devil came in and got them involved in the feast days and got them involved in believing that the Sabbath doesn't begin at sunset on Friday and ends on sunset on Saturday, or gets them involved in all kinds of other problems. One individual among us got hooked into the false doctrine of the cycles of the moon determining when God's Sabbath occurs during the week. They weren't united in the faith. If they would have been united in the faith with us, then they would not have been such an easy target for the devil to mislead. And the last report I got from these individuals is that they're no longer keeping the Sabbath. They believe that it's part of the ceremonial law that was done away with when Christ died on the cross. So they were once Sabbath keepers. Then they got hooked into the false doctrine of the cycles of the moon determining the Sabbath. And then finally they gave up the Sabbath altogether, believing it was part of the Mosaic law and thus done away with when Christ died on the cross. So, dear ones, it is extremely important that we come into the unity of the faith, that we continue to grow day by day into a mature Christian reflecting Christ more and more fully, so that we will not be such an easy target for the devil to deceive us, mislead us, and remove us from the faith. And that's why the devil is so active in trying to prevent God's people from uniting together. Because he knows that if we are united, then it is so much more difficult for him to cause us the loss of our salvation. So the devil is trying to destroy unity among us, and God is trying to uphold and preserve unity among us. And dear ones, let us work with God to come into the unity of the faith, to become brothers and sisters, one with another in Christ, and to put forth a united front against all the devil's efforts to divide us. And that way, we will indeed come more and more to perfectly reflect Christ in character. And dear ones, it's possible. It is possible to reflect Christ perfectly in character. It is possible to be perfectly united one with another in this home church and every other home church. It is possible. All we have to do is determine to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, to build up and edify one another in the faith, to minister to one another in the name of Christ, to become established in the faith and in the knowledge of Christ's work and mission and who He is and what He is to us. It's possible. So then let us go to work and accomplish these things, dear ones. Let us make this home church and whatever home church we're connected with strong in Christ, no longer weak, united in the faith of Christ, and no longer divided in beliefs. And may we accomplish this soon, because the devil is going to do everything he can to divide us. And to bring ruin to precious souls. And I don't want to see a single one of our precious believers that come together in fellowship lost. Or captivated by the devil. Or some false doctrine that's cunningly devised and sprung on them when they're weak. And I pray, dear ones, that you'll help me in accomplishing this. Because each one of us has this work to do. And I thank you so much for your help. Are there any thoughts, any questions, any comments, dear ones, before we open it up to a season of prayer? And please go right ahead. Well, let's go ahead and open it up to a season of prayer. And whoever would like to begin, please go ahead and start, and then I'll follow and close. So please feel free, dear ones.
May we kneel and, if possible, and bow for prayer. Our most kind Father, we thank you this evening and the early morning over the other sides of the world that we are able to come together and learn together of you. Our main goal is to build a strong united church world over, that when Christ comes the second time, He finds us all united as a body of Christ, and being reflecting your true character on this universe. We pray that all whatever we have learned perfect us in all our doings, bring us into a whole unit that the world may comprehend, a strong united church, ready and waiting to be delivered from this world. Lord, as you continue to live on this world, may you remain in us and build us strongly, that we may be one as we are one. We bring all our weaknesses before you. All what we have wronged, that may your blood cleanse us all into perfect harmony and perfect righteousness. Lord, we put your work in your hands. May you do it yourself and be used as instruments to accomplish it. We pray for all those doing your work. We pray for this online church. May you strengthen it, and may you bring many to understand that we are one in you. Lord, we come before you humbled for all what you do for us. May you give us whatever we have not mentioned, but they are for our benefit and for the building of your work. Whatever we have not mentioned, avail unto us. This is our humble prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your precious name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for taking care of us, dear Father, throughout the days, the weeks, dear Father God, the months and the years. We are nothing without you, dear Father God, I pray. I'm on my knees, dear Father, asking that you please heal us all, each and every one of us that are here, those that are listening over the phones, those that will be listening to this recording at a later time. I pray, dear Father, that you heal us from all of our infirmities, dear Father God, I pray. Whether it be body, mind, or spirit, dear Father God, I pray. Help us to really, truly search your word so that your Holy Spirit can impart a spiritual blessing upon us, dear Father, I pray. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, anything that we have done in this body that is not of you. Teach us, dear Father, how to be like you, to be like-minded, to be in unity according to your word, dear Father God, I pray. I pray that you help each and every one of us here to see the bigger picture in all things, to see God's hands in all things, dear Father, I pray. I pray, dear Father, that you will continue to bless us, to keep us and guide us in all your ways. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do in our lives. Help us to understand that our plans, that your plans are greater than our plans, dear Father God, and help us not to become discouraged or be dismayed, and help us to increase our faith, dear Father God, patience, temperance.
Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for being our God and for sending your Spirit to work upon our hearts. And please, Spirit, I pray that you will continue to convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment. Continue to work within us a transformation and indeed bring us up ever higher to understand and to behold our Savior more fully, and thus to grow day by day more into his image. Father, I pray that you will continue to unite us together as one not just in this home church, but also one in the faith, that we may see eye to eye on the same major tenets of our faith, and thus we may grow together a united front against the enemy, so that he will not so easily be able to come in and steal away members from us. That he will not so easily be able to come in and deceive us and lead us astray into side issues and false doctrines that are of no profit to our salvation or to the loud cry going forth in this world and hastening our Savior's return. Dear Father, increase our wisdom that we might indeed be wise unto salvation, and help us to have a keen and sensitive ear to discern the Holy Spirit speaking to us, so that no matter how many other voices might be out there, including our own voice, yet we discern the Spirit speaking to us, saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And grant us the grace and the strength and the courage to follow the guidance of the Spirit in all manners and ways. Help us indeed to crucify self and not to follow the voice of any stranger, but only the voice of our Shepherd. For we are His sheep, and He is our Master. Father, help us to press together more and more closely that we might indeed become Your people, children of the heavenly King, growing up into the full measure of the stature of men and women in Christ. And we thank You so very much for helping us to achieve this. And thank You so much, dear Father, that we're a day closer to heaven and getting off of this wicked world. We thank You, Father, for being here in our midst, and I pray that You will help us to remember the words that have been shared, and indeed, Father, lead and guide us into all truth. And thank You so very much for doing so, and thank You so very much for allowing us to be Your children, and for You being our Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen indeed. Well, dear ones, are there any other things that you'd like to share, or any songs that you'd like to sing, or requests that you'd like to bring forth at this time before we close? Please go right ahead. I'm sorry, dear Sister Ida, I don't have the lyrics on this particular computer that I'm using. I have it on my home computer, and I've got my laptop here. I can remember like half of the lyrics. But Friday night, how about Friday night? I'll sing that for you then. Are there any other requests that we have lyrics for? Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I should have copied and pasted them onto this computer. And thank you. Actually, I'll make a note here for me to do that so that next time I'll be better prepared. Well, dear ones, I want to thank one and all for coming and fellowshipping with us. And thank you so much for your participation. And I pray that God will continue to lead and guide you all ever closer to Him, and to bring us ever more into unity, as well as seeing eye to eye on the same major tenets of faith, so that we might be strong in Christ and able to uphold one another, and thus to have a united front against the enemy and to prevent him from so easily causing division among us and leading us astray. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. 2 Corinthians 13:11. So may God bless, dear ones, and indeed keep looking up.